The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, we survived whatever that was last night. 1 hour, 13 minutes of gobbledygook. I don't know what happened. All I can tell you, ladies and gentlemen, is the state of our nation is apparently gibberish. Hello, welcome to the program. We've got a lot to go through today and a lot to unravel. I will tell you that was not a State of the Union address. That was a re-election campaign. That's what that was last night. So pretty clear to me that Biden is going to run for a second term. Whether or not the Democrats want him to, that's not the issue anymore. This is whether or not the First Lady, Mrs. Dr. First Lady Jill Biden, wants her husband to run again, because she still wants to be the First Lady of these great United States. So that's what we saw laid out there. Kamala Harris looked like she was in a hostage video, sitting behind Joe Biden, and at times her eyes bugging out by some of the things coming out of that man's mouth. And word around Washington is the sign language interpreter threw in the towel about a minute into the address. They're like, I'm done here. I don't know what to do. This is it. We're done here. I don't know what the guy's saying. I don't think anybody did. I got a copy, an advanced copy of the president's speech, and I was going through it and reading this and that, trying to get some understanding of where the president was going to go. The speech was meant to be about 50 minutes. It took him an hour and 13 minutes to get through that. And the guy was just incoherent. He started out somewhat, well, he started out somewhat staggered. And there was this video that that showed the president leaving the White House, getting into the Beast. And you could tell the poor guy was just shuffling his feet like he was some sort of a dementia-rattled old man. No, I'm not saying that he's dementia. I'm just saying that's what he looked like. Did you see the way he walked? He was literally shuffling his feet like someone with dementia, someone with senility would do. It was very odd, very odd. So anyway, we've got a lot of audio to play. We're going to be getting your reaction. There's a new CNN poll out there that says well over 70% of you thought the president did a good job last night. Over 40% of Republicans said that the president did a good job as well. What was your take? How do you think Sarah Huckabee Sanders did with the Republican rebuttal? I thought she buttled pretty darn well. And that's always a hard speech. And go back to Marco Rubio with the glass of water where he was chugging water. Remember that debacle? And then you had Bobby Jindal, the governor of Louisiana. He was supposed to be the next darling of the Republicans. And the guy sped red through the entire speech. Nobody could understand what the guy was saying. He was talking so fast. But I thought Sarah Huckabee Sanders did a fine job. She really did illustrate the point that the Republican Party is the party of the future. She is the youngest governor in America, 40 years old. President Biden, by comparison, is 80 years old. It was a rather striking comparison. So I'm curious to get your take on Biden and Sanders. part of me wondered if Sanders was maybe running for a vice presidential slot on a Trump ticket. Could be, but I don't think so. 844-747-8868. Write down our toll-free telephone number. You're going to need that if you want to call in today. That's 844-747-8868. And the nice thing about Sarah Huckabee Sanders, she came right out of the gate and she is delivering on every single one of her campaign promises to the good people of Arkansas. All of you Arkansans, as they call you. She's delivering on everything. Meanwhile, Joe Biden's up there and he's literally lying, saying that Republicans want to take away Medicare and Social Security benefits. They want to push grandma over the edge of a cliff. No, that's just simply not true. And kudos to the Republicans who stood up, including Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, who apparently went out and killed a polar bear and wrapped herself in it. Marjorie Taylor Greene standing up saying, liar, liar. It's true. It's just absolutely true. Somebody had to say it. It had to be done, ladies and gentlemen. It just had to be done. So we've got all of that. We're going to play some audio from the speech last night. President Trump has a response to the State of the Union. I believe Bill Hagerty had a response. Everybody's got a response to the State of the Union. We're going to get through all of this today. May I? A couple of other things, and we don't have audio on this, but there was an incident on the floor of the House of Representatives last night. Did you see this? It was fascinating. There was Willard Mitt Romney. And he came across George Santos. Now, George Santos was planted. He was planted right there on the front row where he was. Everybody had to pass by George Santos. So it was that prime real estate. And George Santos, instead of being in the dark corner somewhere, which is where he should have been, instead of that, he was out front. So everybody coming in. There was the camera shot with George Santos, and he was trying to shake hands with as many senators as he could, and he also wanted to shake hands with the president of the United States. So anyway, he tries to have a conversation with Romney, and Romney was having none of it and told the guy he ought to be embarrassed. Shame on you. And so then George Santos, after Romney turns his back, George Santos calls him a blank hole. Right there on the floor, a CBS reporter was there, saw it all go down. We saw the, if only I was a lip reader, I could have done this in real time. But it was ugly. And so Romney was asked about that afterwards. And he said, the guy ought to be ashamed of himself. He says Santos says, oh, I'm an embellisher. Romney said, no, embellishing is saying you got an A+ when you got an A-. He says, this guy didn't even go to college. Unbelievable. It was very fascinating. So there were some dust-ups there. MTG, by the way, walked to the Capitol building with a giant white balloon. They wouldn't let her in the building with it, but I thought it was. Look, I mean, it was a giant balloon, but I got to be honest with you. What is it, a couple of years ago when all the Democrat chicks, the representative Etz, the lady reps, they all wore white together? I mean, it kind of looked like, No, I'm not saying anybody's that large. I'm just saying it was a big balloon. It was a white balloon. Would have fit right in. All right, 844-747-8868. Now, our man in Washington, and many people don't know this, but the Todd Starnes radio program, we have a man in Washington, Paul Shanklin. Paul was there in the inner tombs of the Capitol building, and he was able to capture things that we were not able to see on television. We're going to be taking a listen to this. This is fascinating, fascinating, exclusive audio.
Condensed version of Joe Biden's State of the Union.
My fellow Americans, the State of the Union is strong. Our military is second to none. COVID restrictions have lifted our economy and our balloons cannot be stopped. Wait, I was thinking about the state of China, my family's most favored nation. You know, I may have to get a court order to go to the game, but The story of America, we don't believe anything about it except tonight. Vote for it. I ran for president to make sure the economy works from the bottom up to the middle to the out the door to the left for everyone, especially those who just walked across the border.
That's terrible.
I know a lot of you kid me about my dad and who he might have been. But unemployment is at a 50-year low. If you take out all those people still sitting at home. Inflation's coming down as wages still haven't caught up. I know I've been criticized for it, but I'm going to say it again. I know that I've been criticized for it, but I'm going to say it. I drank water through lead pipes made in America. Too many people have been left behind and treated like they're invisible, just like Hunter's art class. For example, too many people lie in bed like my dad wondering, what the hell is that kid thinking? I got total control of your insulin, and I'll make sure you get what's left of it. As my football coach once said, wear a helmet. Spending money under the Inflation Reduction Act is an existential threat. But we got to finish the job.
Get it out there, Joe.
Some of my Republican friends want Social Security and Medicare to sunset. Here's my message to you out there. I know how unfair it is playing you for suckers, but this is Washington. Affordable child care, paid family leave, a living wage, clean underwear, and lots of other stuff that will never, ever come true.
Clean underwear.
Let's finish the job. Except for that wall on the border that we opened up after COVID. Because we need a crisis to Barada Nikto. Look, folks, imagine that I've never had to walk. I talk with my son about getting pulled over by a cop for drugs or a mental health crisis. So let's remember the words of Tyler's mom.
His name was Tyree, sir. Tyree.
Let's remember the world's watching. Hunter was willing to lose Putin as a client to support Ukraine, who was willing to pay out in Bitcoin.
Ooh, I witnessed
and
that.
I made it clear to President Xi that we are not a threat to China's balloons. Name me a world leader. Name me one. Name me one. But there's so much more we can do. Bullying, violence, drama, ban personal data, being homeless in America. The State of the Union is hopeless. God help you all. I have two more years to go. Nip-a-doo.
How does Shanklin do that? I was going through the speech. I don't see any of that in the official speech. Maybe he was just winging it. I don't know. All right, look, thank you, our Washington correspondent, Paul Shanklin. Hang tight if you're on the phones. We got to take a break. We're going right to your calls, 844-747-8868. Do you think the state of the nation is hopeless? This is the Todd Stern Show. The Biden administration has caused a financial crisis, and they don't have a clue how to fix it, folks. Our economy is in trouble, and you need to take steps to protect yourself. Now, if all your money is tied up in stocks, bonds, and traditional markets, you're vulnerable. Gold is one of the best ways to protect your retirement. No matter what happens, you own your gold. It's real, it's physical, and it's always been valuable since the dawn of time. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold. They can help you roll your retirement account into a gold-backed IRA where you still own the physical gold. They can also ship gold and precious metals safely and securely to your house. Did you know $1 million worth of gold can fit in a shoebox? Call Legacy at 866-649-0304 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. That's 866-649-0304 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. All right, welcome back, everybody. Let's go to the phone lines, 844-747-8868. Suzanne in Georgia, WDUN, our great affiliate there. Hi, Suzanne. What'd you think about the speeches last night?
Well, the speech was what, you know, nobody was really that surprised, although it really does surprise me how the percentage goes for Biden. I just don't get it. But Sarah's rebuttal bought me a free ticket back on the Trump train. I was kind of going toward DeSantis, but she showcased the difference in decorum between the previous president and his first lady and the current president and his first lady. There's no comparison. And when Sarah was talking about, I didn't know this, that she had thyroid cancer. And I remember when she was running, there was criticism, even by local pundits, that why isn't she out there in the campaign trail? Nobody knows what goes on behind the scenes. But in our court, conservative court, we're decent people. This current administration is not.
No, they're not, Suzanne. And again, you know, President Trump going out there, and there were some several years ago, I was moderating a conversation and with Sarah and myself. We were at Truett McConnell University, as a matter of fact. And mm-hmm. And she recounted this moment when the media was just brutal, attacking her looks, attacking her weight, the whole, and it was just ugly stuff. They would never do that to Michelle Obama. They would never dare do that to Michelle Obama. But Sarah Sanders was fair game. And President Trump came up alongside of her and really encouraged her and affirmed her and to let her know that he had her back. And he did. And those are the things, again, you're right. We don't see those things that are happening, you know, behind scenes. But look, that's why I like Trump. I've seen how he operates behind the scenes, and he's a good man.
Yeah. So really, brass tacks, I'm very hopeful.
Oh, I am too.
I'm very hopeful.
And by the way, and Suzanne, thank you for that call. And by the way, folks, Trump actually shared some items on his Truth Social page yesterday. This is pretty interesting. There are some rumors about Ron DeSantis when he was a school teacher. So DeSantis, a lot of people don't know this, but after DeSantis graduated college, he taught school in Georgia for a year in Rome, Georgia, at the Darlington School, which is a private school, very beautiful campus. And there were some photographs taken. They said that DeSantis would, you know, as a 23-year-old, would hang around with the teens. And Trump shared that information last. So it's about to get really spicy if DeSantis throws his hat in the ring. I'm just telling you, it's people are asking questions. All right, let's go to Jim in Lakeland, Tennessee, listening to us on our flagship KWAM. Jim, what's up?
Well, I listened to the speech last night, and, you know, they start that Social Security. They're going to take it away. They're going to take away the welfare. You know, that's at every election. That's all they can start screaming about normally. But the rest of that speech, he sounded like a manure salesman with a mouth full of samples. And that really kind of got to me, you know, especially when they all started cheering him about certain things. And then when they started booing him, that was, to me, the highlight of the speech, really.
Well, I'm glad they did, Jim. I mean, the guy's out there and he's openly lying about you to the entire nation. You're darn right you're going to fight back.
Oh, yeah, I agree with you. And I just hope that, you know, that everybody can see what's going on in this country. And go back to some of the old times when Trump was in there and everything was running real smooth. We had border security. We had everything. I mean, I just hope the American public can see what's going on, both Democrats and Republicans, and put somebody in there that's competent.
Jim, I got about 20 seconds here. I'm curious to know your take on the what he said about Tyree Nichols, who he called Tyler. He didn't even get the poor guy's name right. But to go out there and say that black and brown people need to be having conversations with their kids about the police.
Well, the police are to be respected. You're going to have a few bad apples in any kind of business that you've got whatsoever. And the thing is, he needs to be talking about that we can't do without them, and we can't do without our first responders. I mean, can you imagine if all of the sheriffs and the police went on strike at once? Wonder what they'd be screaming then.
It's a great question, especially in a place like Memphis. Jim, we got to run. We got to take a break here. Appreciate your comments, and thank you for listening. By the way, my dad had that talk with me, and I suspect many of you, your parents had the same talk. When you get pulled over by the police, this is what you do. I suspect that is a conversation that every parent has with their child, no matter their skin color. Am I right? Am I wrong here, ladies and gentlemen? 844-747-8868, toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
I've noticed that when I go to the shopping mall and buy one of the towels, they just don't seem to work very well. They feel too soft and too lotion-y. They just don't absorb the water. Well, our good friend Mike Lindell over at MyPillow has found a solution, and you've got to get yourself one of his brand new towels. These things are incredible. And best of all, they're made right here in the U.S., and all of his towels come with a 60-day money-back guarantee. You're going to be able to get a 6-piece set, 2 bath towels, 2 hand towels, and 2 washcloths, all made with USA cotton. They are soft yet absorbent, and you're normally going to pay over $100. But thanks to our good friend Mike Lindell, $39.99. That's it. It's a great deal. All you have to do, go to MyPillow.com and click on the new radio listener specials and get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the towels. Just enter the promo code STARNS, or you can call 800-839-8506 for some incredible radio specials. Again, MyPillow.com, promo code STARNS.
Welcome back to the Todd Stern Radio Program. All right, let me explain what's going on between Trump and DeSantis. Getting a lot of questions about that. And by the way, DeSantis is now firing back. So yesterday, Trump shared some memes on his Truth Social page that suggest that Governor Ron DeSantis is a pedophile. And one of the photographs that Trump shared is an old photo of DeSantis when he was a teacher. He had just graduated from the Ivy Leagues, and he was teaching at a private school in Georgia named the Darlington School. And he's photographed with teenage girls, and it looks as though he's drinking beer or has a beer bottle. So that's the extent of what we know about the photographs. Now, the New York Times actually, as a matter of fact, Trump wrote sarcastically, "That's not Ron, is it? He would never do such a thing." And he later shared the same photo along with a post that denounced DeSantis as pretty gross for cuddling with the teenage female students, one of whom is holding a brown bottle. "No way," Trump wrote in mock response. Now, the image first surfaced back in 2021. The New York Times did a story. I actually read the Times story, and I had a very different take on this after reading the Times story, because they said that DeSantis had a reputation for partying with students. He was a football coach and baseball coach. It was for 1 year. And some of the students they interviewed said that he had views about the Civil War and abortion that were controversial. In other words, he said that the Civil War was really about economics and that it really was not that much about slavery. And he's pro-life. So what my takeaway is, wow, so DeSantis has really not changed his positions on these issues. So a lot of people are very concerned that Trump would do something like this, that he would call out DeSantis. And there were no allegations. Nobody's ever come forward and said there's any wrongdoing. Anyway, DeSantis just weighed in on this. And he says, "I don't spend my time trying to smear other Republicans." So that's the statement from Ron DeSantis. 844-747-8868. I want to go to Jerry in Oak Ridge, Tennessee. KWAM, our great affiliate. Jerry, I know you want to weigh in on this. What say you?
Thanks for taking my call. And you and I have talked a little bit in the past about me being pretty much fed up with Trump, and this just might do it for me. After the fake dossier, after the Russian hookers and the supposed pee-pee video, after the Billy Bush tape, after the Stormy Daniels suit, after the Kavanaugh hearings and the Me Too movement, Trump pulls this stuff. I've just about had it with that man, with his schoolyard, and against a guy that hasn't even declared yet. First, he starts off with the Rhonda Sanctimonious, and now he starts off with the releasing videos that are pictures that are the same stuff that the Democrats and the fake media pulled on him. He knows how bad this is, and he's doing it anyhow. He's an adolescent. He's a schoolyard punk, and I'm just about done with Donald Trump.
Jerry, I don't get it. I'm sure there's a strategy here. My concern is DeSantis is the number two pick outside of Trump, and so if you're going to go out there and damage this guy, that could be a problem for the Republicans, especially if there's a shot that DeSantis could be Trump's running mate, and if he keeps up these kinds of attacks, there's no way.
Not anymore. Not anymore. There's going to be a shot for that, and I can't wait till DeSantis finally gets in so he can put Trump out of our misery. I'm done with Donald Trump.
All right. Jerry, appreciate the call. Folks, you heard Jerry. He says this is it. That's the straw that broke the camel's back. He's done off the Trump train. 844-747-8868. Let's go to Joe in LJ, Georgia. It's been a while. Joe, how are things?
Great. Love your show. I thought last night Biden was totally, you know, just telling fibs like he always does. And I think LJ and the whole North Georgia are going to go solid Republican. I like Trump. I like DeSantis, but I sort of favor Trump. But I disagree with the last caller. But I'm fired up, and I'm going to do everything I can to elect Republicans. And I think LJ, I think we'll go about 90%. In fact, the whole North Georgia area, Todd, we just elected a great conservative named Johnny Chastain, who's a taxpayer champion from Fanning County, which is a strong Republican county. So I think we're going to win, and I think your program, Todd, I mean, it's going to really contribute to the victory, because everywhere I go, people mention you. They say they love the Todd Starnes show, and, of course, I love it too. So I just want to praise you and tell you to keep it up, because you're going to lead us to victory, my friend.
Well, you're kind to say that, Joe. Don't be a stranger now. It's been a while. I was hoping I thought maybe you were on vacation, but we're glad you're back.
I have been on vacation, but I'm back now, and I'll be calling much more frequently, and love you, show. Keep up the great work.
All right. Thanks, Joe. Joe from LJ, one of our originals, by the way. He was one of the first people to ever call into the show many years ago. By the way, here is Joe Biden introducing Chuck Schumer, cut number one.
And congratulations to Chuck Schumer. Another term as Senate Minority Leader. I think you.
That's not it.
Only this time you have a slightly bigger majority, Mr. Leader. You're the Majority Leader.
He's
much bigger?
He's the Majority. He's the Majority Leader, not Mr. President. The Majority Leader. By the way, this is what really set off the Republicans. Cut number three.
Instead of making the wealthy pay their fair share, some Republicans want Medicare and Social Security to sunset. I'm not saying it's a majority. Let me give you, anybody who doubts it, contact my office. I'll give you a copy of the proposal. That means Congress doesn't vote. I'm glad to see you. No, I tell you, I enjoy conversion. You know, it means if Congress doesn't keep the programs the way they are, they'd go away. Other Republicans say, I'm not saying it's a majority of you. I don't even think it's even a significant. But it's being proposed by individuals. I'm not politely not naming them, but it's being proposed by some of you. Look, folks.
Good for you. Good for you, MTG. By the way, that would not have happened if Mitt Romney or John McCain would have been elected president back in the day, right? The establishment, and you could see the crowd, and the establishment people were just sitting there. Harumph, harumph, harumph. They would hardly, but they were mumbling and muttering under their breath. Harumph, harumph, harumph. But meanwhile, you've got the Trump America First folks that are out there calling him a liar, which is what he is. When you've got the Democrats out there saying you want to push grandma over the edge of the cliff in a wheelchair, that is a lie, and you have to call them out. That's all. And you can be polite about it, but you got to let your voice. They don't have a microphone, so they have to amplify their voices. No, it wasn't yelling. It was amplification. All right, now let's go to Memphis, Tennessee. Bill on the line. KWAM, our great affiliate there. Hey, Bill, what's up?
What's up, Todd? You know, first off, the Trump attacking DeSantis. I'm a diehard Trump. I'm not a diehard Republican, but I'm a diehard Trump supporter. My wife is a diehard Trump supporter. But I do think DeSantis is the future as well, and he is going to be needed. And for Trump to come out and attack him, I think it is unnecessary, and it's just stupid strategy. And if he continues to do it, I think it's going to hurt the party. You know, our only objective, as you well know, is to defeat the Democrats. That is the only, we've got to get them out. That's the bottom line. It doesn't even matter if Trump wins. It's got to be someone who supports most of what he does. But attacking DeSantis, personally, to me, is ridiculous. But
Bill, is it possible? We're going to talk about Sarah, but is it possible that Trump may be actually helping DeSantis? Because I did not, for some reason, this skipped my pile. I did not know these allegations were out there. And it may be that Trump is saying, all right, let's get all this out of the open so you can, you know, it can be dealt with or dismissed or proven not to be true, whatever, and you move on so the Democrats can't use this. Or it could be that he's just trying to, he is scorched earth and he's going to try to destroy anybody who gets in his way.
You know, I would love to think that would be the strategy, and that would be dangerous, but it would be a good one, a possible way to do it. I just don't buy it. But I mean, you're right. I mean, bring it out now so they can't. You know, that's the old saying. You know, bring it up, even if it's bad, just bring it out so that you can't be surprised by it at a later date. And that is a good point. I hope that maybe that's what it is. But I really don't want them fighting. I want them to find some type of median to support each other somehow. My goal, obviously, would be Trump win the next election and then DeSantis come in behind him and win the next 8 years. That would be the ultimate goal. And then Sarah Huckabee come in the next 8 years after that, because her speech last night, literally, it almost brought me to tears when she was talking about Trump going to, her and Trump going to Iraq complete darkness, everything turned off, leaving on Christmas morning, leaving her kids behind. But they were dedicated to the country, unlike what's in power now. And, she is truly a leader in the future, a leader for this country. And I would definitely vote for her in the future.
Her daddy raised her right. I'll tell you that much.
Exactly. And Arkansas is lucky to have her. Irrelevant of her being the first woman, she is going to be one of their best governors ever, and hopefully one of our best presidents ever in the future. But keep up the good work, Todd. We've got to unite, and I don't know. They have done so much damage this past when Trump was in office. All the attacking him all the time. It really was. It's horrible, and it's done damage to our country. And now it's like open sea. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And it's sad that Trump has to be that way, because I know he's tough and a fighter, a street fighter from New York, but I know he doesn't want to do that.
Look, we all know who he is. Yeah, Bill, we know who Trump is. We know what he stands for. He doesn't need to do this. It may be his DNA. I don't know, but we'll see how this plays out. But anyway, it is what it is, and it's going to get ugly. Bill, got to run. Appreciate the call. Thank you for listening to KWAM. Folks, hang tight. We're going to get right back to your calls, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
Cost of preceding jobs.
And there may be some hiccups.
I know. But I might point out you're
When I went to Dearborn, driving that, it was up there. I don't know, man. I think the press thought I was crazy. I enjoyed so much going up there. Near a new EV factory and that Hummer. What am I doing here?
Welcome back. We're getting some negative Nancys over on the Twitter, on the Facebook page. I got to read this for you. Pardon me. Rod says, Todd has already chosen to support Trump and spread whatever Trump has to say, be it true or not. So look for him to continue to be biased and outright be a liar for Trump. Now, Rod, I don't know if you're a moron or you're just trying to poke a bear here, but what did I just say? I said this was not the right fight to be had. You ding-a-ling, come on. All right, let's go to the phones here. Steve in Maine, WLOB, the big lobster. Hey, Steve, what's going on?
Hey, Todd, thanks for taking my call. Todd, I couldn't disagree with you more. Trump is not going to be the nominee. I've heard you say it over and over and over. I've voted for Trump twice, but I agree with the gentleman that just a few minutes ago who said he was done with Trump. I'm done with Trump. I'm tired of his antics. He's a bully, and I'm just done with him. I will not vote for him again, and I don't know why people think that if he didn't win last time, what makes people think that he can win this time?
What if he's the nominee, Steve? Would you vote for him if he was the nominee of the party?
Well, of course I would, yes. I absolutely would, because I don't want a Democrat in there. But I don't think he can win, and I don't think he's going to. We still have a lot of time. I don't think he's going to be the nominee, and he's already showing that he can't shut up. He just cannot help himself. He has to. He's a bully, and why he's piling on Ron DeSantis, I have no idea, but I think it's totally uncalled for, and he's already shooting himself in the foot. And we got all kinds of time left, and it's only going to get worse. You wait and see,
Steve. He's what I want to see, Steve. And I get a lot of people are supporting DeSantis, and that's great. And he, if whoever the nominee is going to get my vote as long as they're pro-life. But here's what I'd like to see from DeSantis. We've got to make sure there is fire in the belly of whoever the nominee is. And if somebody's out there accusing you of being a pedophile, then you ought to be raising holy you know what. And that's what I want to see out of DeSantis. I want to see some pushback. I want to see him punch back. Let's see what DeSantis has.
Yeah, well, you may be right. No,
it's not right. I mean, I understand exactly what you're saying. I don't want us to destroy our candidates because these are all good. And I mean, Ron DeSantis would make a great president, but we need to find out if he's a fighter. And if he's not a fighter, he's not going to be able to go out. If he will not defend his honor in his own party, I'm not sure he'll be a fighter against the Democrats in a presidential election. So let's see what DeSantis does. Steve, we got to run here. Real quick, let's go to Susie, WDUN, Georgia. Hey, Susie, what's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. I'm glad you're feeling better.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
I missed you.
Well, I'm back now.
I'm glad. I just want to comment a little bit about what was last night. I didn't listen to it, but I've just been getting bits and pieces of it today. And I just think it's like slavery. It's just beyond crazy. But I thought she did a marvelous, marvelous job. And I'm so proud of her, and I'm proud that she's the governor of Arkansas. And maybe one day when I'm in glory, I look down and see that she's the first woman president.
You never know. Or you might be casting a vote for her, Susie. You never know.
I might, Todd. And hey, Todd.
Yes, ma'am.
I don't want anybody calling in there fussing at you.
Well, that's what I'm here for, Susie. But God bless you, and thanks for those kind words. Folks, hang tight. We're going to get to your calls. We have John in North Carolina, Diane in Georgia, Bill in Cordova, Tennessee. Hang tight, everybody. We got to take a quick break. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Stearns.
Oh, yeah. All right. Hello, all you beautiful people. Good to have you with us today. Hour two of the big show. And may I just take a moment and say thank you for hanging out with us noon to 3 Eastern. I know there are a lot of other choices, but you have chosen to hang out with us, and we're going to do our very best to bring a great show to you today. A lot of stuff happening, of course, reaction still coming in from Biden's State of the Union address. If, in fact, you can understand it, cut number 15, please.
If you try anything to raise the cost of presidium jobs, I will veto it.
Thank you, Mr. President. Appreciate that. By the way, Joe Biden also used the murder of Tyree Nichols at the hands of some Memphis police officers. And by the way, that number is growing, the number of officers involved. It's unbelievable. But Biden couldn't even get the guy's name right. Cut number 12.
Let's commit ourselves to make the words of Tyler's mom true. Something good must come from this. Something good.
No, his name is Tyree Nichols, sir. And if you're going to use this man's death to advance some sort of an attack, a war on police, get the man's name right, please. Al Sharpton did the same thing. Said he was 39 years old. No, he's 29 years old, sir. Get your facts right. If you're going to come into our city, if you're going to try to stir stuff up, at least get your facts straight. That's the least you can do. That just irritates me. Anyway, we're going to be getting to your calls. Hang tight. We've got a lot of folks on hold. We're going to get to your calls. 844-747-8868. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. This gentleman represents the 2nd Congressional District in Tennessee, Congressman Tim Burchett. Congressman, good to have you with us today.
Hey, brother, thank you so much for having me back on.
Hey, I'm just curious, could you understand what the president was saying last night? We were having a hard time following along on TV.
Well, I caught the live version, and I kept leaning over to people beside me. I told Lauren Boebert one time, I said, what the heck did he just say? And she's like, Burchett, I don't know. I was at a loss. And then one time they gave him a standing ovation. You know, I thought it was kind of funny because the vice president, she stands up and cheers, and that's the signal, you know, because Pelosi's not up there to give him the thumbs up or thumb down. And they all, like Pavlov's dog, you know, ringing the bell, they all jump up. And then that was one of the memes because it was like, did he just say Popovich? I wasn't really sure what he said. He was going to ban or make sure that we or something. I don't know. I told somebody this morning, it was a focus group out of San Francisco that helped him with all his points. You know, he's going to go after motel room hidden fees. Well, that's at the cutting edge of problems we have in this country. And the Republicans, quit standing in my way on the border issue. I mean, you know, what the Hades was he talking about? And then fentanyl, holy cow. We haven't even had a hearing up here on fentanyl because the Democrats would have to admit they have a problem at the border.
As a matter of fact, Congressman, we've got that audio. Cut number 5, please.
Fentanyl is killing more than 70,000 Americans a year. You got it.
Yeah, you're right. They do have it. It is the border. He's not doing anything to stop the flow of fentanyl across the border.
Oh, 100%. We had hearings this week. Chairman James Comer out of Kentucky, our oversight committee. I was fortunate enough, Speaker McCarthy put me on that. And oh my gosh, the flow of fentanyl coming over the border, I think the statistic I quoted was it could kill 8 times the population of America of just what they've seized. Now the Democrats are, oh look, they've seized all that. But people are dying every day because of this garbage. This is how strong this stuff is. I talked to a man from South Carolina whose boy had died because I put in a bill that gave him life sentence if you mule that stuff across the border, if you got caught trafficking it. And he was on an ABD drug, and his prescription ran out. So his buddy, of course, apparently everybody's on this Adderall. I don't know anything about it, but he takes this stuff. His buddy gave him some. He gave him the pill, and the pill had been fake. They crushed it out in somebody's garage. They've got these presses that they do this with, and it had fentanyl in it. And literally, the pill was still in his mouth. That's how quick it killed him.
Good Lord.
And so, I mean, this stuff is rampant. If you got a child now and you think they're experimenting with anything, I don't care if they're experimenting with smoking weed or anything that's on the street, you better warn them, because this is a serious deal. These fentanyl dealers, they'll kill some kid as an advertisement to show just how strong their junk is. And that's what they're doing. They have no soul. We were told that the cartels control. I mean, these are literally, we are pretty sure, Democrat members of Border Patrol that were testifying. And they said across the border, it is controlled 100% by the cartels, not the Mexican government. And we've got a president who wants to negotiate with these thugs. It's just like he's going to negotiate with China. Well, look what that's gotten us. We've got a weak-kneed general who, in my opinion, co-opted his power under Trump by negotiating behind the scenes with China, now is telling us letting their spy balloon, which is 1800s technology, fly over a country that our military budget's over $400 billion a year, and we're going to let this dadgum thing fly over every high-tech military installations I'm not allowed to talk about, but the ones I am are pretty, it's pretty devastating what we did just then. And to think that we've abdicated our power to somebody. And then the president of the United States, bless his heart, he's no wartime president. He's a Neville Chamberlain, if there ever was one. But he even said, let's knock that thing down. And the General Milley said, no, let's wait. And they let it go over every high-tech military installation we have in this country. Leon Panetta. I'm sorry, I'm jacked up on Mountain Dew right now.
That's all good.
Leon Panetta, who is, you hate him or love him, either way, his son's in Congress with me. He's a friend across the aisle. But Leon Panetta is probably one of the more respected members of the Obama administration. He was his CIA director. He was his chief of staff. He said he would have knocked it down when it came through the Aleutian Island chain before it hit to Alaska. Now, I heard one of the president's administrators say, it might have been Buttigieg, I'm not sure, but he said that, well, it went through Alaska, but then we waited till it got to America. Well, I got news for you, folks. Alaska is America. And then when it was over Montana, it was, I talked to the congressman over there, who is former Navy SEAL, told me, he said, look, Tim, he said, it would be more likely to hit a shrimp boat off the coast or somebody in a tie-dyed tank top off the coast of Myrtle Beach than it would have hit a person where they could have dropped it in Montana. You don't mean the most technologically advanced country in the world does not have computer models to show if we would have shot that balloon down in Montana where it would have landed in a safe area. That, to me, is bogus. The whole argument was bogus. I think we have a military-industrial complex that's been compromised. I know that sounds conspiracy theorist, but you've got them dealing with the president.
No, Congressman, it doesn't sound all that. That doesn't sound wackadoodle at all. When you look at the person that's at the center of this controversy, General Milley, he's the same guy who called together people in the Pentagon and basically told them to swear allegiance to him, and that if Trump wanted the launch codes, they were not to follow through. This is the guy who called his counterpart in China and said, we're not going to be launching nukes at you. Why does this guy still have a job?
That's a great question. I do not know. We had breakfast with this morning with General Kellogg, who was in the Trump administration. You might remember his name. He's a real patriot. And he's basically just said, look, this thing is it's a complete violation of the military chain of command. You know, that is the reason George Washington took his uniform off when he became president, because he realized that separation. He could have been made a king. He could have been, you know, emperor or whatever. No, he chose democracy. And that the democracy, the chain of command, goes from a civilian president to a military general. And that does not go the other direction. And that is exactly what you have right now. You have a president who is cognizantly, honestly, he's not there. We all know that. Everybody knows it. The Democrats joke about it on the House floor. They joke about it in the gym. Everywhere we go up here, congressional Democrats joke about his ability to govern and to lead. And they just laugh about it because it's all about power. It's all about money. It's keeping somebody in power. It's keeping them in power. It's keeping them with the sweet entourage and the committee assignment and keeping them in the money and they're traveling. I mean, you know, look up there in the president's box, you know, his the president's wife's kissing the first dude, the second dude, whatever, kissing her. And then you're sitting there with Bono and all this bunch. And I salute Bono for his work on AIDS. But, you know, it's this rock star attraction that the left has and their immoral background that is destroying. Three things are destroying our country right now: China, debt, and our education system. And the Chinese control the other two, or they're involved in the other two. We owe all our debt to China. They have infiltrated our colleges and universities, and we better wake up. We better wake up.
Congressman, we got to leave it there, Congressman. I am curious. So how much Mountain Dew have you had today, sir?
I just had one, but I had a big old cup of coffee. My wife's not listening. I'm not. My doctor told me to cut that stuff out. But
Chip, I'm all jacked up on Mountain Dew.
Yeah, that's the kid. That's my movie, Ricky Bobby. You know, Will Ferrell got snubbed by the Academy.
He
should have got Best Actor for Ricky Bobby.
Or Anchorman.
You tell me, was that a documentary or not?
Oh, trust me, it was and I was trying to explain to our younger journalists that this is the way TV newsrooms used to be in real life. That's what makes it so funny.
Oh, 100%. And you know, when they came out with that Ricky Bobby movie, Hollywood thought, "Oh, we're gonna, you know," and they were all afraid that NASCAR was going to be all mad about it. And they loved it. That was the funny. They thought that was the greatest thing ever. All those guys. And they all started emulating those guys. Hey, thank you, Todd. Thank you for what you do. God bless you, man.
All right, Congressman.
See you, brother.
All right, we'll do our best. Thank you. Congressman Tim Burchett over in East Tennessee. He loves that Mountain Dew, I'll tell you that much. All right. By the way, before we go to break here, we're going to go right to your phone calls, folks. So hang tight. So can we talk about what happened in the box with the first lady last night?
So,
I mean, this was kind of weird,
man. What do
you
want to do? I'm here, baby. I'm ready, baby. I'm waiting on you.
So you got First Lady, Dr. Mrs. Jill Biden.
I am patiently.
Oh, she gazed in the eyes of the second dude who, nobody knows his name. It's not that important. But there they were, and it was as if they were the only people in Congress last night. You sing it, Barry. Sing
it. Something wrong with me.
Oh, there's something wrong, all right.
Every time
did you see
I'm
it?
Alone with you,
they looked at each other and just, they embraced. And then he went in for the lips, and she went in for the lips. And on national television, ladies and gentlemen, we saw the First Lady of these great United States, First Lady Mrs. Dr. Jill Biden, get to second base with the second dude. And America threw up. This is the Todd Stern Show.
You can turn me out. Telling me this and telling me that.
Yeah, that was a little weird when the second dude put on a big slobber knocker on the first lady. And by the way, you know Kamala was like, what's going on up there? And it was just very, I was uncomfortable. I don't know about you, but I was a little uncomfortable. All right, 844-747-8868. As promised, let's go right to the phones. Diane in Georgia, WDUN. Hey, Diane, what's on your mind?
Hi, Todd. Good to talk with you again. I watched the State of the Union address last night, but I had to mute it because I just could not listen to all those lies. But I sat there, and I learned a lot just by watching Kevin McCarthy's facial reactions, and when they, of course, would pan the audience, naturally you would see the Democrats clapping, cheering, and the Republicans sitting still. I personally think that is the first authentic feedback Joe Biden has received since he's been president, maybe even since before, because with him being shielded by his handlers, the media, big tech, the conservative Republicans couldn't get to him. And this is the only time that he was able to hear them speak back in mass what they thought of what he was saying. And I don't believe it's going to be the last time, do you?
No, I don't believe so either. And I will say this, I thought McCarthy did a great job last night. I think he was playing the part well.
Yes, and even though I couldn't hear I've listened to the outtakes this morning, and I can picture, you know, the way he responded or did not respond, that, you know, especially when Joe Biden was saying some outrageous things. So, I mean, an hour and a half of just watching those facial expressions was very educational to me, and some of the people have been complaining on the radios about losing the civility of the House. Well, can anybody come up with any other way that the conservatives are going to be able to reach him?
You know what? I don't have a problem with a single thing the Republicans did. When you've got the president of the United States knowingly and openly lying about you, I think you have an obligation and a responsibility to say something. And I say good for them.
Yeah. If I remember correctly, they made fun of, there were some catcalls and some things said to President Trump when he made some State of the Union address.
It's true. Fair enough, Diane. Fair enough. What'd you think about Sarah Sanders?
Wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. I listened to the whole thing. I think she did an outstanding job. And then, of course, the talk about them flying at night with the lights out to get over there to the base where the troops were, you know. I think that it's too soon for people to start saying I'm either for or against whoever may run. You know, we've got so much time. I'm not going to fall into that trap. I'm just going to wait and see who our nominee is when it's all primaried.
That's a fair statement, Diane. And look, I like Trump, and I think he deserves a second shot only because of what they did to him and all the lies they spread. And I think it poisoned the well for the president. And, you know, I'd like to see him get another shot. But if he's not the guy, I have no doubt we've got a pretty deep bench on the Republican side.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Well, I enjoy listening to you, and I've enjoyed listening to everybody's calls and comments today.
All right. Thanks a lot, Diane. Appreciate that, and thank you for listening to WDUN. Good people over there. By the way, here is Sarah Sanders talking about how Biden and the Democrats have failed America. Cut 11.
So forgive me for not believing much of anything I heard tonight from President Biden. From out-of-control inflation and violent crime to the dangerous border crisis and threat from China, Biden and the Democrats have failed you. They know it, and you know it. And it's time for a change.
It is time for a change, and it's time for a break, too. We got to pay some bills. But we're coming back. We're going to Bill in Cordova. You're up on deck. John in North Carolina, 844-747-8868. That's our number. We'll be right back. All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Stearns radio program. Let's go to the phones. Bill in Cordova has been holding on since yesterday, listening to us on KWAM, KWAM. Hey, Bill, what's going on? And thanks for holding on.
Oh, that's why I'm holding on. This is worth it. I was listening earlier to these guys talking about Donald Trump and how they're not going to support him anymore because they don't like his attitude. Todd, that's the furthest
That's the most wrong thing a person can do. We've got to support. You've got to support people for what they've done for the country. Donald Trump did tremendous things for this country, and that's what's important. What people don't realize is when they say, I'm not going to support him because I don't like the way he acts, they're just drawing a line in the sand. You got to separate that, and I have. Donald Trump said things and done things I don't like, but what he's done for this country far outweighs that. And we're at a critical time in our country right now where we need somebody like Trump, maybe DeSantis if he's on board, but we need somebody that can fix this mess, and we can't worry about their attitude or what they say or how they hurt your feelings. This is, it's ridiculous. You got to be a grown up and separate that. Put your big boy pants on and pull the lever for Trump.
I want to see, and again, I don't know what Trump's motive here is. I don't know. But Bill, I can speculate, and maybe Trump is trying to see if this guy's got any fight in him. Because you're going to need to have that mentality that Trump has, that you're going to fight, you're going to do the right thing, and it doesn't really matter what people say or do, but you're going to stand your ground.
Probably what it is. That's the kind of thing Trump would do. Is you got to test the people's mettle, and he does that.
Bill, I'm curious about something. I don't mean to change the subject here, but being that you're in the Memphis area, and Biden, of course, mentioning the family of Tyre Nichols, saying that black and brown parents have to have conversations with their kids, basically saying warning them about the police. Bill, I don't know about you, but my dad had that talk with me, and I'm about as white as mayonnaise.
Well, I had that conversation as a child, and it came in really handy when I was almost arrested for armed robbery. When I left a convenience store right before it got robbed, and I got partially turned in because I guess the person that gave the descriptions got confused, and you know, under the pressure of all that, I've been through that too, and it can happen, you know. But you got to be careful. And the main thing people need to remember is do what you're told. Put your hands on the wheel. Do what you're told. Don't argue. And you know, Tyre Nichols is a little different situation because I think that was more of a bench thing with the police officers. I don't want to convict anybody before their trial, like Jim Strickland did and others, but Mulroy. But you know, he deserves a fair trial. But we just have to be careful with that stuff. You know, some people just get caught up in it.
So far, you know, and I guess some news dropped yesterday. We've been following the story on the national show. What, 13 police officers have now either been punished, put on leave, fired, or charged criminally in this murder. Then you have three fire department officials, and then you've got two deputy sheriffs that have been involved, and there could be more. And it looks to me, I mean, with the sheer numbers, that you have got a serious leadership problem within at least the Memphis Police Department.
I believe so. And that doesn't convict all the police officers. I think we've got some really good talent on this force. But, you know, there needs to be some better guidance. And I don't know if it's Chief Davis's fault or, you know, I think we've been without a director for a while here. And maybe that's got something to do with it. But back in the days of Buddy Chapman, I don't know if you were here then, they towed the line and they had to, and Holt. You know, there were a couple of them that were really, really good. But I don't know if we've had a good leadership in the police department.
Well, probably I'm seeing this as being a straight leadership issue right here, Bill. And we appreciate your call and thank you for listening to KWAM. By the way, so we told you that there's been a lot of reporting out lately that this was some sort of a personal grudge between one of the police officers and Tyre Nichols, and that there may be some sort of a love triangle. That's the reporting of Newsweek and others out there. And now, yesterday, they came out and said that one of the officers actually took photographs of Tyre Nichols just beaten to a pulp, and then texted those photos to a couple of other people in the department, as well as an unidentified civilian. And we're being led to believe that unidentified civilian is, in fact, the woman who may have been, you know, having this relationship with Tyre Nichols. And if that's the case, then those are not second-degree murder charges. We're talking about first-degree murder charges. By the way, this is weird. China said they were going to get back at us, right, for shooting down the balloon. Power is now out in two congressional buildings. That would be the Cannon office building and the Rayburn office building in Washington, D.C. That's interesting. That doesn't happen every day. We're going to keep an eye on that. This story out of Howard County, Maryland. Students in Howard County, Maryland are being told to address their speciesism. No, that's not a typo. It's speciesism. Specifically, the educators are concerned about young people who might oppress plants like daffodils and ferns and whatnot. So this is all part of a broader lesson plan that all the kids are learning, and it's connected to Black Lives Matter. So the kids were given a workshop that identified, and the kids had to identify their privilege or their oppression. Remember, we were talking about this yesterday. You're either the oppressed or the oppressor. That's what critical race theory teaches. So speciesism actually covers 13 types of oppression. Who knew there were that many? There's racism, sexism, classism, ageism, and adultism. Well, I don't understand the. We'll just assume that is you're a child and you have an adult telling you what to do. That makes you oppressed. No, that makes you blessed, child. So my question is, why is the public school system using Black Lives Matter propaganda in the classrooms? Teachers are supposed to be teaching the kids, not recruiting the kids. So I'm just curious, why are we telling these kids? And again, instead of teaching reading and writing and mathematics and science, now we're teaching the children to be kind to bushes and trees and shrubbery. And I don't know what brought this on. I don't know. Maybe somebody hauled out a weed whacker and somebody got triggered. I don't know. But it sounds to me like the good people in Howard County, Maryland, have a bumper crop of pansies growing this year. Unbelievable. 844-747-8868. Let's go to the phones. John in North Carolina.
Mr. Starnes, thank you for taking my call.
Glad to do it, John. What's on your mind?
Well, one thing you just mentioned, I'm very nearly a vegetarian, so I guess I'm really in trouble. I guess I oppress plants all the time.
You cannibal.
Anyway.
Shame on you, John.
I know.
Those plants
I
have
know,
feelings.
It's terrible. Hey, the congressman mentioned the Chinese spy balloon a while ago, and actually I have a theory about that.
I'm all ears.
I believe that it could be that Mr. Biden and the regime actually did believe that it was a Chinese spy balloon. So he was more than happy to let it spy on the United States for as long as his Chinese bosses wanted it to. That was no problem. But after a week or so, you know, it started to lose some altitude and the jet fighters were finally able to get close enough to get a good look at it. I think old Joe immediately knew that it had to be destroyed just as soon as it would fall in a place that it couldn't be seen. Because I believe it may have not been a spy balloon at all. I think actually it was an advertising balloon that got loose and drifted off. And it actually had letters 20 feet tall on it spelling out, "Watch News Max."
And they shot
it
down.
It had to be destroyed. Yeah,
so, of course,
it had to come down.
There you go. All right, John, I like the theory. Look, we will put that in our stack of theories. It makes about as much sense as anything else I've heard.
Hey, there you go. It's, you know, the congressman said that they all joke around the gym and the lunchroom and all of that because what's going on is just so unimaginable that you have to make fun of it. So,
well, there you go.
Maybe that'll contribute a little bit.
John, appreciate that call. Here's an update.
Hey, God
bless you too, John. Thank you. I want to give an update. So this power outage in Washington, D.C. happened during the Hunter Biden laptop hearing that's underway. Which, by the way, AOC, before the lights went out, AOC said that the Hunter Biden laptop story is half true. All right, well, I want to know what half of it's true. Are we talking about the snorting cocaine off the hookers? What are we talking about is half true? But now the hearings are in recess. due to the power outage, they're hoping to get it cranked back up here shortly. Very odd what's going on right now in Washington, D.C. Now, I want to, before we go to break, I need to ask the white people of the audience a question here. So if you're Asian American, Hispanic American, African American, just hang loose for a second. But I need to talk to you white folks out there. There's a story out of Auburn University. The Black Student Union there, facing a little bit of controversy. A whistleblower, so a black student within the Black Student Union, became a whistleblower and shared contents of the group's private chat page. So there's a private chat page, and the information that's in this private chat page is a little weird. So it turns out the black students were making fun of white people, people of the Caucasian persuasion. And they posted more than 200 anti-white slurs. Now, this is all coming from Turning Point USA. And these are some of the anti-white slurs they shared. And I'm curious to know if you consider these to be slurs. So they're calling the white people snow pigs, saltine crackers, cotton balls, Ku Klux Karens, and unseasoned chicken. What does that mean? What is unseasoned chicken? Are they saying we're just bland? Is that what they're saying? I don't understand. How is that anti-white? So, I mean, if we're going to go along this line of thinking, if unseasoned chicken is anti-white, what about, I don't know, that Cajun chicken, the blackened chicken? What would that be? I don't know. Anyway, the Black Student Union openly bragged about the names, and they bragged about mocking white people over and over and over again. Now, I got to thinking about this, because, and I had not thought about this story in a very long time. But you might remember, it was about a year ago, we had a young man on the program, white kid. He was actually from the Memphis, Tennessee area, and he was in the running to be the next Supreme Court justice there in the student judiciary. And it turned out that he came under fire because he happened to be a white guy. That was it. That was the only, he was well qualified. He checked all the boxes, but he was just the wrong skin color. And he didn't get the gig. So anyway, the whistleblower, this black kid, reached out to Turning Point USA, said he was tired of all the blatant anti-white racism, and decided to take a stand. I say good for this young man. But I'm curious, does that bother you? I've never heard people call us snow pigs before. And by the way, I'm not a cracker. I'm a saltine American. Don't you forget it. All right, we got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Now, you've heard this from Newsmax. AT&T's DirecTV just removed Newsmax from 13 million homes. And, folks, we got to apply the pressure. AT&T owns DirecTV, and it's the second conservative channel they have removed. Keep in mind, they still have 22 liberal news channels broadcasting on their platform. Now, I love Newsmax. I'm happy and proud to be a contributor. I know a lot of you folks watch Newsmax, and you're just as angry about this censorship as I am, especially when it's directed at the fourth highest rated cable news channel in the country. Now, Ron DeSantis says Newsmax was targeted, and it is wrong. President Trump says AT&T and DirecTV censorship is unacceptable, and we need to do something. And here's what I want you to do. You need to contact your congressman, complain about the censorship, ask them to get involved. 877-NEWSMAX. That's 877-NEWSMAX. Millions of people are joining the fight, and I want you to join as well. Again, call 877-NEWSMAX now. So you really believe that it's just a coincidence that the lights went out on Capitol Hill right as the Hunter Biden laptop hearing was getting underway? You really think that that's just a coincidence? We'll see. All right, let's go to the phones. North Carolina, Patty hanging out with us today. Hey, Patty, what's on your mind?
Hey, Tyler. I mean, Todd. How are you?
I'm good,
sorry,
Patty.
I got the name wrong.
I'm good. I'm, you pulled a, pulled a Biden.
Yeah, it's a Ku Klux Karen called you.
Ku
hey,
Klux
listen.
Klaren.
All right, let me tell you. You can't make it up, Todd, can you? Really? I mean, it just gets worse. I mean, it gets, you know, this guy last night, I watched a little bit of it. I had to turn it off. I couldn't take it no more. I couldn't take it. It was like, I'd rather go through root canal, okay?
I hear you. Without the Novocaine.
That would be a better thing. But I want to say something. All these bleeding hearts that are calling you about, oh, Trump said this, Trump said that. You know what? Nothing in 2 years, if Donald Trump was in there, none of this stuff would be happening. We wouldn't have given up. I mean, Joey gives up to the Flintstones. We lose 13 Marines, Ukraine. What else? Balloons flying over. How long do you think a balloon would have been up in the air if Trump was in there?
That's a great question, Patty. And by the way, that story got booted out pretty quickly. And again, it was fake news. They said that balloons were coming over during Trump's years. It turned out not to be true. It turned out not to be true.
No, I understand that. But, you know, but I think, and I've got another, that guy had a theory about the balloon with the, you know, the Newsmax. I have a theory. I know why they didn't shoot it down. It's because Hunter was steering it with Fang Fang.
Well, you think so? So Hunter's, so Fang Fang is cheating on Swalwell with Hunter.
Hey, she's a Chinese spy. It's right up Hunter's alley.
Well, that more so to speak. Yes, I think you're right, Patty. I think you're right.
So you've been doing better, Todd. You sound great.
I do. Thank you, Patty. You know, it's the weather. We just had these extremes here in Memphis, and I haven't gotten used to it just yet, but I'm getting better. I'm doing well. Thank you for asking.
Well, I love you, and I miss Grace, and Dylan's great, and you guys are great, and God bless you all.
Well, God bless you, Patty, and you just made Dylan's day. So yeah, we're gonna get Grace to phone in very soon. She's getting acclimated to the below zero temperatures in Chicago. So hey, Patty, gotta run. So thank you for calling in. Thanks for checking in. Folks, thank all of you. And by the way, coming up, we've got Matt Schlapp. Also, our official young conservative is going to drop by. And your calls, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
All right. So we've been monitoring these hearings up on Capitol Hill. You've got the Hunter Biden laptop story going down. The lights went off, and so now the hearings are at least postponed. But before the lights went out, there was an interesting conversation that was had over at the House Oversight and Accountability Committee meeting when Yoel Roth, who is the former head of Trust and Safety over at Twitter, was testifying. And again, under oath. So you lie to, if you lie to Congress, you go to jail. So they got to tell the truth. And he told the truth. It turns out that the New York Post story from October of 2020 about Hunter Biden's laptop did not violate any of Twitter's social media's policies. Not a single one. Roth admitted that the laptop story was censored anyway. Congressman Andy Biggs called this election interference and questioned Roth about Twitter's actions on the day the Post published the story. Fascinating information. And we're going to be monitoring all of this. Hopefully the lights will come back on. Do you really think it's a coincidence the lights went out while they're talking about all of this? It's very, very odd. All right. Welcome to Hour 3 of The Big Show. Happy to have you with us. I want to go right now to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Great to have Matt Schlapp, the chairman of the of CPAC, the American Conservative Union. Big, big event coming up March 1st through the 4th. We will be there broadcasting the show. Matt, good to have you back with us.
Hey, Todd, I just want to remind all your listeners that that electrical outlet that faulted out or tripped during that oversight committee hearing, that's the same outlet Joe Biden wants to hook up the entire U.S. economy to. No more oil, no more gas. We're all going to have this perfect electric grid that never goes out. Just remember that, Todd.
I love it. It's a fair point, a fair point. Matt, and by the way, it's not just, I think, a couple of the congressional office buildings without power. Something weird's going on in D.C. right now.
There's always something weird going on in D.C. And I tell you, I was with Marjorie Taylor Greene in her office the other day, and you know, and I was explaining to someone for staff, because I'm the old guy now, Todd, you know, this is the center of power in our government. The House majority with the all-important gavel in the hands of Jim Jordan and James Comer at the Oversight Committee. These guys can do a lot to right what's wrong with our democracy. And I just think we need to all tune in, no matter how you watch it. Maybe you guys are live streaming it. I know a lot of people are, and I know C-SPAN is, and you know, keep your eye on this, because it's not like Congress can send a bunch of people to jail. You still need DOJ to work with on that, but there's a lot of people that are saying the sergeant at arms of the House can do a lot more arresting than they've been doing. And but more than anything else, we've got to put these Democrats on notice that when we get back to the White House in 2024, you know, we're going to make sure that that Attorney General is ready for the recompense of breaking the law on day one.
Yeah, I think we have to. It's just so frustrating that conservatives have been coming under attack, and yet no one has ever held accountable for that. So I'm hoping that we're able to do this go around. You know, I was curious to get your take on the speech, because you've been involved in preps, State of the Union prep, for a number of presidents, and it's this speech was just weird. There was really no flow to it.
Yeah, it was weird. Now, remember, when Obama and Clinton lost Congress to the Republicans, you know, they came back in that first State of the Union a little humble. And Joe Biden just, you know, he didn't have it in him to acknowledge that he got a thumping at the election. Like, that was what Obama said. He goes, "We got a good old-fashioned thumping." Bill Clinton said, famously, "The era of big government is over." Like, they trimmed their sails, and there was something about that humility publicly, which is important. This new Democratic Party has no humility. There was no, like, apology. There was no, like, "Hey, we lost a lot of seats. Nancy Pelosi sitting in the chief seats because, you know, she was deposed. We did fire her." The closest he came was, "Hey, we should probably work together." But the agenda he wants to work together on is no limits on abortion, gun control, trillions of dollars of new spending. He even was so outlandish that he tried to make it sound like the Republican Party is the one that, like, broke into Paul Pelosi's house and accosted him. And, you know, they just don't get to make up the facts. And I think for a lot of people in the middle, a lot of working class people, they're like, "Well, how does 9 months of abortion and gun control going to help me take care of my family?"
Great questions. And of course, the exciting news is that CPAC is coming back to Washington.
Yeah, so we believe strongly that a lot of people left the area and abandoned this blue area for red states, and I don't blame a single one of them for doing it with the craziness and the crime and the bad schools, but, you know, this is our nation's capital, too. And so for all of you who have come to CPAC before and you're wondering, "I don't know if I should come to this one," I think it's awfully important that we send a message to all these socialists that, you know, we haven't abandoned our capital. We haven't abandoned Congress. We're going to fight like hell for our country. And it all starts with coming together and showing the other side that we've got the numbers. I mean, a lot of us believe there's a lot of election fraud, which, you know, we question a lot of these results. And what the left wants to do is demoralize us and make me and you and everyone feel like our voices don't matter, that they can silence us. And I say we show them that we're not listening.
Yeah, and it's going to be a great big lineup as well. I know we're going to be broadcasting the show from there, but you've got some very high-profile conservatives that are going to be speaking at CPAC.
Yeah, we just announced Ted Cruz. We just announced Carrie Lake. We just announced Laura Trump, who thought about running for the Senate in North Carolina. We just announced Mark Robinson, who's this most magnificent of orators, the Lieutenant Governor of North Carolina. We've announced Lauren Boebert. We, you know, it's a who's who. And Todd, people like yourself who are on media every day trying to explain what's really going on, you guys play an important role too, and we're always so gratified that when you're there with us.
So it's March 1st through the 4th in our nation's capital. And folks, you can get more information at conservative.org. That's conservative.org. Is President Trump going to be making an appearance?
Absolutely. He did a beautiful video for us, which we put out on social media yesterday. He's going to be with us Saturday evening. As he always does, he's going to keep us guessing on what he's going to say and how long he'll be on the ground. My guess is he'll be there a good long time. You know, he loves CPAC, Todd. You know that. He believes that his national career was launched at CPAC. By the way, the other great American president who believed that CPAC launched his national career was Ronald Reagan.
That's right.
We're proud of the tradition, the Reagan tradition, which became the Trump tradition. And now Donald Trump is going to try to do something that we haven't seen in our history but one time. Is after not succeeding in his reelect, trying to get elected again. And I have to say, it's an exciting thing to be a part of.
I love it. All right, folks, again, conservative.org. You got to get reservations early. They're going to go fast, and it's going to be a great time coming up in just really a couple of weeks now.
That's right, Todd. Get your tickets. Come join us, and let's take back our country.
All right, Matt, we're going to leave it there. Congrats. Looking like it's going to be a fun weekend in our nation's capital.
Awesome, Todd.
All right, Matt Schlapp, ladies and gentlemen, the chairman of the American Conservative Union, CPAC coming up March 1st through the 4th in Washington. All right, we got to take a break here. 844-747-8868, toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Now, you just heard Matt Schlapp on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. We've been telling you about what AT&T and DirecTV have been doing with your money. They're using it to censor and silence conservatives. Now, the best way and the most effective way to fight back is to pull your business from AT&T and DirecTV. It's very simple. And that's why I've been recommending Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier. They've got plans to fit any budget, and the coverage is unbelievable. And if you want to know what the coverage looks like in your neighborhood, all you have to do is go to patriotmobile.com/Todd. That's patriotmobile.com/Todd. And all the information is there. If you're a veteran, are you a first responder? Well, they're going to have an additional discount for you. But the best part about it is that your money is not going to attack Newsmax or One American News. No, your money is going to fight for causes that you believe in: religious liberty, the Second Amendment, and restoring traditional values to our public schools. And you can do that by simply going to patriotmobile.com/Todd. We'll be right back, America. Well, this is odd. So there's been no news coverage of the power outage up on Capitol Hill. It's very peculiar, but they are talking about it on Twitter. It's very strange. And the power outage just seems to be impacting, at least the limited information we've got, it's part of Capitol Hill and two congressional office buildings. And it just so happens to be happening right during the middle of the Twitter hearings. I don't believe in coincidences like that. Hey, let's go to the phones here. 844-747-8868. Andy in Texas. Andy, what's on your mind?
Todd, I agree with you 100%. I have worked in healthcare for many, many years at huge hospitals and at little teeny tiny hospitals. And even the teeny tiny hospitals are required to have generators to be able to continue functioning in the event of a power outage. It seems a little dubious to me that the capital of the United States, doing the people's business and one of the best protected buildings and best equipped buildings in the nation doesn't have a backup generator in case of just such an emergency.
Yes, I find that hard to believe as well. And I know that there are generators up on Capitol Hill and mighty big generators. So I'm not quite sure what the issue here is or why it's taking so long to get these lights back on. But clearly, I mean, for it to happen, do you think it's a coincidence that it happened right in the middle of these Twitter hearings?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, something smells fishy here. I'm just not buying it. I'm not buying it.
I agree with you, sir. It absolutely does not pass the sniff test.
All right, Andy, appreciate that. And again, I thought it was just me, but it's just sort of weird that this sort of thing happened right when it did. By the way, I was listening to our morning show on KWAM, and there was a survey out. They were talking about Valentine's Day coming up and how much people spend when they buy something for their Valentine, whether it be the chocolates or flowers, a dozen eggs. I mean, you know, some people are going high dollar. And I'm curious to hear from our audience. Is Valentine's Day a big deal for you? Are you spending a lot of money when it comes to Valentine's Day? So CNBC is reporting that Valentine's Day this year, you guys are spending a lot of money. And even if it means you got to put whatever you're going to get on the credit card. CNBC says Valentine's Day spending is expected to reach $25.9 billion. One of the highest spending years on record. I guess there's a lot of love out there. This is according to the National Retail Federation. This year, Americans will shell out, on average, $192.80 for candy, cards, flowers, six-pack of Mountain Dew, and other gifts for friends, loved ones, classmates, and even coworkers. The report found up from $175 in 2022. Are you folks spending nearly $200 on your Valentine? Is that what that's all about? CNBC says that's despite the fact that many Americans are already going into more debt just to afford their day-to-day expenses as prices rise. 27% of couples said they will need to rely on credit cards to cover Valentine's Day cost, and it will take at least 2 months to pay it off. Almost one in five Americans think a Valentine's Day gift is worth the credit card debt. That's according to Wallet Hub. Is that true? Is that true? Are you willing to go into debt to become closer to your Valentine? I don't know about that. What was it? There was one guy who was on the morning show today, and he said that really you have to treat the Valentine's Day gift as a capital expense. So you think of your relationship in economic terms. You're trying to seal the deal, right? So you're trying to get the ring on the finger. Ring by spring is what they used to say back at the school I went to many years ago. And so to get that ring, the guys have to fork over money. You got to get the candy. You got to get the card that says something romantic. You got to get the reservation at Applebee's, and you got to do all this stuff. And if you do this stuff, then you're going to have a better shot at getting a bride. So they look at this as an investment in your future. That's what they're looking. So they don't mind going into debt a little bit if it's going to result in matrimony down the road. Is that really the thinking out there these days? I'm curious. Or are you more likely to be one of those guys that literally goes out to the gas station and gets, you know, some candy, maybe a Reese's, the 4-pack Reese's peanut butter cups. That's a lovely Valentine's Day gift. And then you get some gas station flowers. Do you think, ladies, and I'm curious, maybe the ladies can help us out here. Ladies, what is it you want for Valentine's Day? You know, it's sometimes it's just hard for guys to figure it out. And can you tell the difference when the can you tell if the flowers came from a gas station or the florist? I've always wanted to know that. I'm just curious. They all smell the same. Well, there might be a little bit of gas smell, but you know, otherwise it smells great, looks great. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Or maybe some of you would just rather, you know, forget the candy, forget the flowers. I just, you know, let's order out. You know, grab a pizza. It could be. Head on down to the barbecue joint. And just so the wife doesn't have to cook, that's Happy Valentine's Day, honey. But I am curious how much effort, how much time people are putting into the Valentine's Day things this year. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. We're monitoring the situation out of D.C. We'll let you know when the lights come back on. They should have been back on by now. We will also be talking to our favorite official young conservative from the great state of Montana. Riley Neeson's coming up. He's been on the show a time or two. And your calls as well. By the way, ToddStearns.com. Great website. A lot of great information for you there. We'll be right back, America.
It depends on how new the relationship is. You'll probably spend a good amount of money on the new relationship, but as it goes on for like 10, 20, 30 years, the spending tends to go down. Just give her a Chick-fil-A bag full of Chick-fil-A sandwiches and maybe some red face masks. Just saying.
What? Thank you, Mark from the Villages. What's going on down there at America's friendliest hometown? Now, I think Chick-fil-A is a great date night. What is it, Cracker Barrel? They're actually doing this thing where if you get engaged at Cracker Barrel, you could win like free food for I don't know how long, so however much you can handle, I suppose, of the chicken fried chicken or what's it, Uncle Walt? That's Red Lobster. Anyway, hey, let's go to Rebecca in Maine, WLOB. Rebecca, you got to help us out here.
All righty. So, hello, Mr. Starnes. I hope you're having a wonderful day.
Lovely day. Thank you.
Yes. I have been doing Valentine's for a lot of years with my special happy hubby. And he gets me, I'm telling you, because I have a little poem for you. Roses are red. Violets are blue. I don't want chocolate. Give me pew-pew.
Poo-poo?
Pew-pew.
Oh, no. Pew-pew. My apologies. Nobody wants poo-poo. Yeah. What's pew-pew?
Well, it's bullets for my gun.
Oh.
He gets me.
Oh, pew-pew. Oh, I get it. That's a lady gun. Pew-pew.
That's a lady gun. Yeah, it goes pew-pew. Okay. He gets me. But I want to, that guy who was kind of dissing on Chick-fil-A, I got to tell you, a good Chick-fil-A is a great way to romance somebody because you wait in a line here in Maine for Chick-fil-A. And if somebody's willing to wait in line for Chick-fil-A for somebody, that must be special.
That's love. That is love right there.
That is love.
All right.
Anyway.
Rebecca, thank you. Appreciate that information. By the way, there was a place in Memphis years ago, and they used to have a date night, Rebecca hung up, my apologies. But they used to have a date night at the barbecue joint, and it was also a shooting range. And you could get like two barbecue dinners and a couple of rounds of ammo. And, man, that's good Southern loving right there. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Good to have you with us today, 844-747-8868. Now, look, as much as people are talking about Ron DeSantis, there's been a lot of scuttlebutt about Nikki Haley throwing her name into the hat, and she's making a big announcement coming up. And I know that our official – and I don't even know if Riley Neeson knows, but Riley, you have been, I guess, upgraded to our official young conservative. Congratulations.
Awesome. Thank you.
I'm not sure it comes with a pay increase, but, you know, it's a tough economy right now, Riley.
Right. Of course.
By the way, before we get to that, though, I mean, you're there in Montana. Did you see, what was that like with the big Chinese spy balloon over your state?
You know, I didn't actually get to see the balloon, but I had friends and family in Billings, Montana, that actually got to see it. Kind of crazy.
Did they try to shoot it down or anything?
They should have.
Of course.
I did see a military, you know, aircraft flying above Bozeman. I'm not sure going where, but there was definitely an increase in that activity.
Is that right? Okay, that is just insane. And a lot of people don't realize that is a massive state. And there, I mean, what, about 1 million people live in Montana?
Yep.
All right. It's what a weird story that was. So let's talk about Nikki Haley, because I know that you're a big Nikki Haley fan.
I am. I really like her.
All right. So you went from, I mean, I know that you are a huge Trump supporter. So why Nikki Haley? Why do you like Nikki?
You know, I like her opinions. I like her stances on pretty much everything. And I really like her demeanor. I like her more gentle tone. And I kind of think that's what we need right now to bring, you know, the country together. And so I just think that she is the correct person for what we're just facing right now.
There is there's a lot of talk that maybe she's not even running for the presidency as much as she wants to be Trump's VP. If the presidency doesn't turn out well, could you see her taking on that role?
You know, I could. And I think Nikki Haley on any ticket would be a great addition.
Why do you say that?
I just really think that she has what it takes. You know, I've listened to her speak many times, and I think she's a very eloquent speaker. She seems to be very cordial. I like a lot about her.
Now, you are also a big fan, I know, of Governor Kristi Noem out of South Dakota. There has been a lot of talk that maybe she might be thinking about doing something on a more national level. What are you hearing in those parts?
You know, I'm also seeing that. I really do think that she's trying to go somewhere. I'm not quite sure where that is yet. You know, she pledged to the citizens of South Dakota that she wasn't going to do that until she completed her second term as governor. So I'm not quite sure what that's going to be.
What is she like, Riley? How is she governing there?
You know, she does a really good job. I mean, she really just promotes freedom across the state. She's initiated a lot of good legislation that I think will do a lot of good for the state. She's looking at getting rid of the sales tax for food in South Dakota, which I think will be, I mean, awesome with the current economy.
I don't know if you caught any of the speeches yesterday, but I was really impressed with Sarah Sanders. And you've been a proponent for a long time of term limits, and you've got a problem with all those old people up on Capitol Hill. I'm curious, what do you think about Sarah Sanders? I thought she did a good job. That's a hard speech to give.
You know, I think I didn't get to catch the whole speech. I was working last night, but I caught little clips of it this morning, and what I saw, she did an excellent job.
But again, she made the point that it is time to pass the mantle. And she pointed out she's 40 years old, the youngest governor in the nation. And Joe Biden, 80 years old, the oldest president we've had. Why is it important, in your estimation, that we have younger voices?
Well, I mean, for Joe Biden, for example, I mean, that man has not served in the private sector for who knows how long. You know, I mean, he's completely out of touch of, like, what it's like to be just a regular citizen. And I think that's an important perspective that we need in Washington, D.C., and I think the younger generation has a better chance of bringing that.
You ever think about running for office one of these days?
You know, maybe someday. Not now, though. It's a little crazy right now.
Yeah, well, yes, it is. But I think to your point, though, when you look at President Biden, you're right. This is a guy that was, what, in his 30s when he went to Washington? He has not held a private sector job, and yet his family is worth tens of millions of dollars. And you wonder, okay, wait, how did that happen?
Right. It's just ridiculous, honestly.
It is. Well, Riley, let's see what happens. I think, though, that the Republicans are going to have to specifically reach out to younger generations and do a much better job at recruiting, millennials and especially Generation Z. How do they do that?
You know, I think they just need to talk about the issues that our generations are facing. We need to stop doing them back and forth with the Democrats and really show that we have a plan that can solve, you know, what my generation fears, you know.
I love it. Riley, all right, we're going to let you get back to it. Good hearing from you. You're doing well otherwise?
Yes, sir.
All right, good. Well, the staff here says hello. They enjoyed when you came down to visit in Memphis, and we'll have to get you back down here one of these days.
Sounds good. Awesome. Thank you, Mr. Starnes.
All right. Riley Neeson, our official young conservative. That's how Grace Baker is framing Riley now. So there you go. We'll have to get him business cards or something, I suppose. All right, 844-747-8868, our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Oh, we got an update on Jerry the King Lawler. So he's doing well, apparently. His Twitter, oh, there's a picture of him, and he's in the hospital, got a Royal Rumble ball cap on, but he looks good. He says, thanks, everyone, for prayers, and he's recovering from the stroke. So there you go. That's good news. All right, we got to take a break here. Open lines, ladies and gentlemen. So whatever you want to talk about, we will talk about in the final 15 minutes of the program. Our telephone number again, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show. All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Boy, these school boards around the nation, woo, getting a little hot out there. So I live in a suburb of Memphis called Germantown, Tennessee, and there have been some issues over there with the school system, and any of you folks who might be listening in that area, I'd be curious to hear your thoughts. So was this last night, yesterday? We received some audio of a mom speaking at a Germantown school board meeting, raising some concerns about the local middle school. This is mind-blowing. Take a listen.
Good evening. My name is Carrie Schween. Tonight, we must push politics aside and find common ground. I believe that common ground is our children. I, along with other parents and other children in our district, have discovered that there are serious incidents between a student and a teacher at Houston Middle School. These incidents put the safety of children at risk, and we, as a community, have been kept in the dark. It might even be that you, as board members, were kept in the dark. So, what is happening at Houston Middle? It is alleged that a male 7th grade teacher was given a coffee mug by a male 7th grade student that read, "Best Boyfriend." We know that after receiving this mug, this teacher did not return it nor report it. He used it in plain sight for all the children to see. Yes, he received a Best Boyfriend mug from an 11-year-old student and decided to use it for his entire class. It is also alleged that this same teacher would swap clothes with the same student who gave him this mug, and possibly others. Yes, this teacher let other students, including the one who gave him the mug, wear his clothes during school hours. It is also alleged that this teacher has routinely allowed other male students to hang on him and hug him inappropriately. Students would come up from behind this teacher and hug him, including the student who gave him the coffee mug. And, most disturbing, it appears this entire situation was discovered because this teacher was messaging this student after hours on personal cell phones. So, what were the consequences? Mr. Chatham, Mr. Curry, Mr. Strain, Ms. Griffith, Ms. Oaf. If you don't believe me in my words tonight, fine. But please, do your due diligence and ask HMS administration, ask the district office, and ask yourselves why you did not know about these allegations. And when you do ask, you have a duty to share those answers with the public you are sworn to serve. During the last school board campaign, I raised these very concerns, only to be told that such behavior does not happen here. We are not Loudoun County, and that I am a fearmonger. In fact, most of you on this board wrote an email of questionable legality condemning me, and yet here we are tonight. Houston, we have a problem. And the problem will not go away no matter how hard you try or how many awards you give.
Oh, wow. So to our knowledge, the school board there in Germantown, Tennessee has not responded to these allegations. This individual raising these concerns at the school board meeting, and it's sort of blowing up there on the message boards on social media. But I'm curious to know, even in some conservative districts, you know, we're starting to hear these weird reports, and I think it's a good reminder to step back and to ask yourself, okay, do I really know what's going on in my local school district? I mean, you're paying the bills. Even if you don't have a kid in the school, you are still paying the bills. You're a taxpayer. Your money's being used to fund all of this stuff. And a lot of folks, and especially in conservative areas, suburban areas, just like in Loudoun County, Virginia, you may not be aware of just how woke the school system is. Does that mean every teacher in every school and every classroom is woke? No. No, it does not. There are good teachers out there who are just doing their jobs and trying to teach their kids and trying to do the very best job they can do. But as Libs of TikTok has shown us, there are other teachers who are advancing a radical agenda. Now, there may very well be an innocent explanation for everything you heard that parent say, but there may not be. I don't know. But when the school and the school board does not provide information, when they are not transparent, and I get it, if they're dealing with employment issues, there's not much they can say. But ultimately, you have to wonder, these radicalized teachers, and by the way, our number 844-747-8868, again, 844-747-8868. But these radicalized teachers, are they really doing this for the kids? Are they in the classroom for the kids, or are they in there to advance an agenda? Or are they in there to receive some sort of personal affirmation of who they are and what pronoun they choose to be? I'm just wondering. You see these videos on TikTok, and it's not like we're not talking about one or two. We're talking about hundreds of these folks. And how many times have we actually heard them say, and they're confused. They're pronoun confused people. And how many times have we heard them say, I want my kids to affirm me? How many times? So there's something going on in the public school system, and it's coming from the universities and the colleges. And you better wake up. You better wake up. So I appreciate this mom, and she ran for school board, and it was an ugly race. And again, she's making these allegations, and we'll see what comes of it. But what a mess. All right, 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Norman in North Carolina. Hi, Norman. What's on your mind?
Hey, I wanted to tell you that I think you're the best after Rush Limbaugh that's on the air today, and I really appreciate what you do.
Wow. Well, thank you.
And I wanted to tell you that in Statesville here, I intend to harass legally out on the street with some signs in the very near future. The AT&T offices and the DirecTV offices regarding this censorship. I think it's horrible what they've done, and I would like to think that there's other people that might get involved doing this.
Norman, I hope so, and, you know, be nice and respectful about it. You sound like a great, decent man, and I have no doubt that you will be, but we got to do it, and we have to take these stands. Yep. And if we do, Norman, we're gonna be able to make them do the right thing. And you gotta go down this path to do it, but I think it's going to be worth it in the end. Norman, God bless you. Thanks for that comment and that compliment. We really appreciate that. All right, folks, we got to scoot out of here. Been a great day. We'll see you tomorrow. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.